Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
My pleasure, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
As part of its mission to protect and enhance the health of the U.S. swine herd, the Swine Health Information Center is supporting porcine saplovirus genetic characterization and diagnostic tool development. First of all, what is porcine saplovirus? What are the clinical signs? And what do we know about this infection at this point?
So porcine saplovirus, Bruce, is an RNA virus. And that means that as an RNA virus, it has enhanced opportunities for drifting, for shifting and drifting as it replicates. That can be an issue. And that's one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we understood as far as diagnostics goes. Most of the time, the saplovirus is probably asymptomatic. It very well may be in a herd and you don't know it. But it has been reported and has been found associated with clinical disease that includes respiratory failure, different diarrheas, reproductive issues, and even central nervous system signs in pigs. So that's a variety of different clinical signs. And it's part of the illustration, I think, of the difficulty in being able to analyze porcine saplovirus and get it down to associated with specific diseases. And I think that's probably one of the most important efforts of this research is to best understand if we can saplovirus roles in different disease syndromes.
In terms of the genetic characterization of the pathogen, what's happening and where, and how will characterizing it be helpful?
Sure. This is a project that was started at Kansas State University and continued on at the University of Illinois. And what we did was work on trying to do that genetic characterization of the full saplovirus genome. That's a really important step because when you can look at different pieces of the genome, it's kind of like feeling different pieces of the elephant. You don't get the big picture. And so what we tried to do is get the full-length genome sequence done by next-generation sequencing, and that was successful. And that led us to the epidemiology of this particular virus strain, at least, in that it looks like it's related to two different Japanese strains, but it also has characteristics of U.S. strains as we know it here. So all of those things lead us to being able to help with good diagnostics and being able to develop good PCRs and especially good ELISAs, good tests for antibody, because those are the kinds of tools that we need to be able to analyze the epidemiology of this virus and to really to talk about the clinical syndromes in an informative manner such that we can talk about the epidemiology and the way the virus moves, the effects it has, and its production effects all at the same time.
How effective are these diagnostic tools and what are the factors that might influence that effectiveness?
Well, the diagnostic tools are based upon, if you're talking about an antigen detection PCR, for example, antigen detection is based on a specific piece of the virus. It doesn't do a detection of the whole virus. It only does a detection of a specific piece. And so it's important to know the whole genomic sequence of the virus in order to try to pick out the best place where you can attach a PCR for detection. You want that piece to be conserved. You want it to be a spot where even if the virus does change, does mutate, that piece is conserved. That piece is always there in the same manner so you can detect it by antigen detection with PCR. For the ELISAs, starting with the PCR detection and understanding the genetic sequencing enables you to produce monoclonal antibodies. That's a specific term where a virus is purposefully infected into laboratory animals such that those laboratory animals will produce antibodies against it without clinical signs, but it can be used for further development of ELISAs that are useful in detecting antibodies in the native species, for example, in pigs. So the whole sequence of genetic evaluation leads to different diagnostic tests and our ability to be able to analyze all the information we need about the epidemiology of sapilovirus.
In terms of new diagnostic approaches, what seems to offer potential and why, and how may that vary for different strains?
Well, the new diagnostic approaches are going to include the detection of the virus, and that's by PCR, and it's going to include the epidemiology of the virus and the history of the virus, and that's by ELISA. So there's going to be those diagnostic approaches. One of the additional things that we've got to yet do as a diagnostic approach is more pathogenesis studies. We need to know more about characterizing different sapilovirus strains. Like I said, this is an RNA virus, so it may change and we may have different strains out there. It's going to be a process that in the isolation, in the reagents, the assays, to make sure that we have the bases covered sufficiently that if sapilovirus turns out to be an emerging pathogen, that we will have the best tools available for detection, as well as perhaps for the development of vaccines and maybe other therapeutics that could be used.
And is there anything you would like to add?
This whole project with sapilovirus is one of the things that I think is a good illustration of the mission of the Swine Health Information Center. There are three pieces to our mission. One is monitoring for emerging diseases. And certainly the identification of a sapilovirus infection in a U.S. swine farm is monitoring for a potentially emerging disease. The second one is to do targeted research to make sure that we benefit the industry. And certainly the genetic characterization of the virus, the whole genome sequencing, the development of effective diagnostic tools that may lead to further analysis and further development of vaccines and whatever for the industry is an illustration, a good illustration of targeted research to benefit the industry. And then finally, the third portion of our mission is analysis of swine health data. And this issue of potentially emerging sapilovirus is an important one for analysis of data through the diagnostic labs, as well as the data that we gather from the farms and the producers that tell us about their diagnostics of sapilovirus. So I think it's right along our, right in our wheelhouse of trying to identify, trying to evaluate, and trying to mitigate the effects of an emerging disease in that sapilovirus. More about this can be found on the swinehealth.org website and about other projects that we have on other potentially emerging diseases as well. Swinehealth.org is the swine health website. Bruce?
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. It's always good to visit with you.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.